Hi, this is Terry Telford from TheBusinessProfessional.com. Today we're very lucky to have with us Dr. Joe Rubino, who is North America's success coach. He's actually influenced and helped 500,000 people, and he has a goal of influencing and helping 20 million total. Now, his best-selling books and tapes are available in 22 countries and 14 different languages. And a couple of very notable books that Dr. Rubino has authored are Restore Your Magnificence, A Life-Changing Guide to Reclaiming Your Self-Esteem, and The Magic Lantern, A Fable of Leadership, Personal Excellence, and Empowerment. And Dr. Rubino is also a co-founder of the Center for Personal Reinvention, which you can find online as well at www.centerforpersonalreinvention.com. I'll repeat that again. That's www.centerforpersonalreinvention.com. That's all one word. And Joe is a very big believer in self-improvement and personal reinvention. So having said all that, I'd like to thank you for your time and being here with us today, Joe.
Terry, it's a privilege to be here.
Ah, thank you so much. I think the best way to get started is if you can give us your background and tell us how you started out being a success and self-improvement coach.
Well, I'd be happy to, Terry. I was not always a success coach or a personal development coach. As a matter of fact, I spent the first 18 years of my professional life as a dentist. And that was very fulfilling for quite a number of years, but I had a sense that there was more, not only more from the perspective of making my own life work optimally, but I had a sense that I had the potential to share some of the insights that I had developed with others and impact their lives. And so I committed to a personal development program that started out being a year-long program in which I worked with a couple of mentors every day for 5 days a week and then got together with them 16 days out of the year and went through some very rigorous personal development reinvention sort of type exercises. And from there I decided to go and devote my life's energies to supporting people to be the best they could be, and so I continued for another 6 years to take deeper cuts of what this whole art and science of reinventing oneself and being the best one can be and living life optimally and in choice. And so after that point, I then took my own personal experiences and my knowledge and developed it into some programs that are available on books and tapes and also through courses that I do both in physical locations as well as coaching on the telephone.
Fantastic. Now, you mentioned you have a couple of mentors. Who are they?
Carol McCall and Mike Smith have been my mentors. They are people that taught me such skills as listening skills, living out of choice, leadership principles, and just designing a life of no regrets overall. So they were very instrumental in having me see where my life was not working and supporting me to transition into a new life that is more fulfilling.
Okay. Now maybe what we should do is kind of take a step back and define actually what is personal reinvention.
Well, personal reinvention is really a commitment, and it's a commitment to designing someone's life and choice, deliberately focusing on the pursuit of excellence and making someone's life work optimally. So it really comes out of a decision to declare who you are and consciously go after those qualities that would enhance your happiness and would enhance your fulfillment and actually your relationships, your personal effectiveness with others, and really so that you can have it all and be all you could be in the world.
Okay, so how would I know then if I should try something like this or not?
Well, it comes down to identifying what's working in your life and what's missing, such that are you living a life of no regrets, or are there some areas in your life that are not working optimally? And those areas range everything from your health, your relationships, your occupation, your wealth and finances, your passions and hobbies, and of course the arena of personal and spiritual development. And so if one of these areas is not working optimally, you have the opportunity to examine it in detail, to find those parts of it that aren't working in a way that enhance your life and bring you fulfillment and happiness, and actually reinvent that aspect of your life so that it not only honors you, but it's a function of your life purpose and your passions and gifts in the world.
Okay, so personal reinvention looks at my life as a total, not specifically just in business or just on my relationship side. Is that right?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we believe very strongly that if your life is not working optimally in all areas, then any of the areas that it is working in will not be as fulfilling and not have quite the impact than if it were functioning on all six cylinders, so to speak. It's the sort of thing where, you know, you could be a tremendous success in business, but you could be terrible in your relationships. And so there's a big missing there. Or perhaps you have health problems. And so without having every area of your life work well, there's some work that we need to do in order to integrate one area with another and have it all work optimally, because we believe that everyone really can have it all if that's their commitment.
Okay, so how would I go about starting a personal reinvention?
Well, the first thing to do would be to identify those areas where your life is not working optimally. And there's a number of different ways to go about the inquiry around personal reinvention. The first is you could read about it as information, and I actually wrote two books called The Power to Succeed, 30 Principles for Maximizing Your Personal Effectiveness, and then a follow-up book, The Power to Succeed, More Principles for Powerful Living. And there's 52 principles or so here in these two books that allow people kind of a self-study guide to take on the different concepts that make up each of the areas of every person's life, to look at what might be missing that, if put into place, would make each of these areas more fulfilling and happier and just more productive. So that's just kind of a self-study guide. Another way to take on personal reinvention, in the way that is probably most effective, is to hire a coach. And a coach is someone who actually can look with the person who's being coached to see where they're stopped. The coach really knows which questions to ask and how to support someone to look outside the box in those areas that we're all blind to, you know, the areas that we don't know that we don't know about.
Right.
And that is something that we do at the Center for Personal Reinvention by telephone, typically. And then a third level is a reinvention-type course, where we actually support people over the course of 3 days, physically in a different city throughout North America, typically, where we actually support people to look in detail around who they are as a possibility in the world and what's not working for them and how they're coming across to other people in ways that don't support them. So we actually look at all of the areas of life, and we specifically tailor our work to be experiential so that each person is impacted in those areas that are most significant for them.
So this is something then that I could do on my own, or I could do it, like you said, in a course or a group of people.
Yes, and what many people do is they start the inquiry on their own, and then they get to whatever level they get to, and then they decide to take on a coach to support them to take that to a higher level.
Right, okay. So if I'm doing it in a group of people, how would that, is that better than doing it personally or with a coach on my own, or what's the optimal way to do this?
Well, the advantage of doing it with a group is that it's concentrated. So, for example, there'll be, say, 20 to 30 people who share this desire to make their lives or their businesses work optimally. And so by coming together for 3 days in a room somewhere, we not only are able to champion people to identify where they're stopped in their lives or in their businesses, and to create both success plans for their businesses and or personal development plans for their lives, but there's an interactive process that happens when a number of people are going through this process together. And, you know, as human beings, we all share some of the same stops and the same fears and challenges in our lives. And so it's oftentimes just very helpful to experience how others are dealing with the same sort of problems that we experience. And there's a synergy that happens when those courses put together a combination of people that just contribute to each other's lives, as well as the coach contributing to the lives of the participants.
So it actually ends up being like a big brainstorming session where you can kind of bounce ideas off people and think, oh, his solution to that problem sounds great to be able to to work with the solution to my problem as well.
Yeah, and it actually goes way beyond brainstorming. Brainstorming is a very valuable process and a distinction, and this is really, in the courses, we actually get to the source of where people are stopped in their lives, and this isn't something that brainstorming can do. What it is we actually trace how people see the world in such a way that we look at what emotions are triggered. We typically all operate out of different moods that are triggered when events or words are said. And these moods are typically a function of anger, sadness, or fear. And they bring about these moods which keep us stuck and keep us in controversy and argument and out of relationship with people. So what we do in the course is we look at where did we go back in our lives and first make up some fundamental decisions about ourselves and about other people and about how these things limit us in the world. And so we're actually able to dissect what happened from what we made up about what happened, and people get their lives out of that type of work.
Okay, so being a coach is almost like being a psychiatrist then, is that right?
Well, it's not therapy, but it's very therapeutic. It is absolutely not psychiatry, but it's a combination of a number of different success principles that support people to get a hold of what's missing in their lives. And so the structures that we put into place give people an access to seeing what other people see about them. It gives people an access to different tools, for example, where they can reinterpret what people say or do to them and have done to them in the past. And as a result of all of this reinterpreting and new perspective outside of the box, they're able to see things in a whole new way that empowers them instead of keeping them stuck. And of course, self-esteem is a big part of this all, and my book, Restore Your Magnificence, A Life-Changing Guide to Reclaiming Your Self-Esteem, actually sets up a typical reinvention with respect to someone who has self-esteem issues. And we take a lot of those principles, which are presented informationally in the book, and we actually give people exercises, and we revisit past memories, and we actually support people to reinterpret what happened in ways and to see things a little differently and to have breakthrough experiences that have them see the world through fresh lenses, and as a result, they're empowered to live happy and fulfilled lives.
So this is really a step-by-step process where you start off with book number one, where you look at your self-esteem, then go to book number two and book number three. That kind of progression, is it?
Well, everyone can formulate a structure that supports them best. So, for example, if self-esteem is an issue, then Restore Your Magnificence would be a great place to start. If someone is more interested in business principles and life success principles, then the Power to Succeed books are two great tools to move them forward. I actually have another book that you mentioned, Terry, which was based upon our 3-day course, and that's called The Magic Lantern, A Fable About Leadership, Personal Excellence, and Empowerment. And each of the chapters of that book takes the reader through a different exercise. So, for example, there's a listening exercise where the characters in the book discover how they listen, and that's one of the things that we do in the course. There's also a reinterpretation exercise where we look at the fundamental decisions that we made up about ourselves and others and the world early on, at a young age, anywhere from typically 2 years to 12 years old. And then we support people to see how that decision has impacted the rest of their lives, and they've lived out of some decisions that a little 2 or 3 or 4-year-old made up. And so depending upon someone's desire to reinvent themselves and go through the personal development process, these are all tools that we've created that can support people at whatever level they're interested in taking on the reinvention.
Beautiful. So the Magic Lantern is really, it'd be a good place to start for an overall kind of summary of what a personal reinvention is and how we could go about doing it.
Yeah, actually, Terry, the Magic Lantern is a fable, so that it's a fantasy, and it's set in the place called Center Earth, where there are goblins, elves, and wizards, and dragons, and all sorts of creatures that make up the plot. So it's my intention there for both that book and the prequel, which will be out at the end of September 04, which is called The Legend of the Lightbearers, is to actually support people in a fun way to develop some of these success and fulfillment type distinctions that are presented informationally in some of the other books.
Okay, sounds like you're a fan of J.R.R. Tolkien and Lord of the Rings.
Well, I am, and this book is similar but very different in many ways. It's much more personally development type orientation. It's a combination of fantasy and success principles interwoven throughout.
Excellent. Now, you mentioned in The Power to Succeed, those two books. You have 52 ways to give, basically to kind of get your self-esteem going and move things along within a personal reinvention. Can you give us a couple of examples of what would be maybe, you know, two or three of the 52 ways?
Sure. Well, it was written such that people would be encouraged to take on a different success principle every week for a year. And as you take on one, you implement it into your life, and then the next week you take on a second, and you implement that while continuing to work on the first, so it all builds upon each other. So I'll give you an example of a principle. One is responsibility. And responsibility in this sense means the ability to respond, the ability to act in an empowered manner to meet all of life's challenges or problems in a way that has you be the source of what happens around you. So unlike how most people interpret responsibility as something that involves blame or fault, what we're really looking at is empowerment here. We're looking at how can we take such responsibility for our lives that we start to manifest who we are in the world, and we manifest what we want to show up around us, so that if we take the perspective that everything that shows up around us in our lives is our creation, we now have a new place to come from to see if we can impact what shows up around us just by the things that we say and do and who we're being that either attracts the sort of energy into our world that we want that's consistent with our values, or if we're attracting angry and depressed people, then we need to take a look at who we're being that's showing up. And that's just an example of being accountable for whatever it is that is in our world, because we really believe that on some level we're attracting it to us. Another principle, for example, would be the whole notion of problems. And where we are in the world is that typically problems throw us into a tailspin, and you know, we will do whatever it takes to avoid problems in life. And instead, what if we had the interpretation that there's a problem awaiting us somewhere out there today, and it's our job to discover what it is because of the fact that there's a breakthrough awaiting in the problem? So there's a seed or a gift for us in the problem, which we're really going to see as a challenge and not a problem at all. And through that gift that is awaiting us, we are going to be able to make our lives more fulfilling. We'll be able to be more effective with people. We'll actually be able to see something that we didn't see before that actually resulted in the creation of the problem. So those are a couple of examples, and I could give you more if you would like.
Sure, I'd like another couple.
Okay. Well, commitment is another distinction, and commitment is something that contrasts to a decision of convenience. So most of us operate in life around what do we do that is most convenient, you know, how can we take the path of least resistance in our lives? And so we get what we get when we follow that path. And as opposed to that, I'm going to invite our listeners to consider that they are at a fork in the road millions of times a day. And being at that fork in the road, they have the right to choose. And the choice is between making a decision that's in line with your commitment for who you say that you are and who you've decided to be in life, or it's taking the other path of the fork, which is doing the easy thing, taking the easy way out. Maybe it's stepping over the truth. Maybe it's acting out of our fears and our judgments as opposed to championing people and championing ourselves. So the success principle that there is to get here is to recognize when we have the option to choose one way or the other in our daily life and to take some bold action that would be very much in contrast to the selling out type action or taking the path of least resistance that we would be thrown or normally tending to take. So when we can act out of our commitments and choose the path of heart, I'll call it, we can now start to have integrity where what we say matches what we do, we start to walk our talk, and we start to shape a whole new life that is based upon a strength of conviction and a strength of operating out of what's important to us and our values, as opposed to being weak and being vulnerable in the sense that we're not able to choose wisely with respect to our relationships and the decisions that make a difference in our lives.
Okay, so is this sounds to me like it's, for example, when we come to a fork in the road type of a decision in our normal daily affairs, it sounds like right now most everybody would be making that decision almost on an unconscious level where we just kind of take the path of least resistance. But when we go through a personal reinvention, then we actually take a look at the decision we're making and see if the actual decision that we're going to make is based on the goals that we've set for ourselves now, or is it actually just because it's the easy way out?
Well, we typically operate out of habit, and we're used to taking the path that avoids conflict for some of us, or for others it creates conflict. For some of us, it's the path that has us not honor our values, but do the things that, you know, we're addicted to doing. So whether that's drinking or taking drugs or arguing with people or getting into fights and conflicts, whether it's watching television instead of reading personal development material and working on ourselves, whatever those contrasting decisions are, we're used to habits that have brought about the type of life that we find ourselves in. And if you look around at your life and you're not happy, totally blissful about what you see around you, then the opposite possibility is to act out of a new set of rules, life rules, and a new set of values, and a new set of commitments that you're going to start honoring, where, for example, let's say that you're overweight, and you're typically at the fork in the road where you're eating all the wrong foods, and you're overeating, and you're doing those things that don't support your health. You're not exercising, you're smoking, you're doing those things that you know you shouldn't be doing, but somehow you're on an automatic set of tracks, like a train, going in that direction down the wrong path. Well, if you're operating out of your commitment, perhaps you're going to have a coach that supports you to honor your decision to eat properly. And maybe, you know, you'll give up certain types of foods that are bad for you, or you'll learn to quit smoking, and you'll, you know, give up the drugs, and you'll start to take those decisions and make those decisions that support you to be the person that you've declared to be. So this whole reinvention process comes out of the concept that we can declare who we are to the world, and then we can act out of that declaration by asking ourselves, okay, now that I've declared myself to be a healthy, energetic, optimistic, positive thinking, spiritual leader, what sort of actions would a person like that take? And are the things that I tend to do daily consistent with that declaration, or are they consistent with a person that is very much different from who I've decided that I'm going to be? And so that is the structure within which the personal development occurs, and of course there's a lot of support structures that we help to put into place, like accountability circles where you tell people about what you're going to do and you ask them to hold you accountable to following through on what you say that you'll do. That's just one example.
Okay, so it sounds like it would make a lot more sense if somebody's actually looking at seriously doing a personal reinvention, that it would make a lot of sense to have a coach so that, I don't know if you have a phone call like once a week or something, that you have to say, okay, well, my goal is that I'm going to quit smoking. And next week you have to admit to your coach, you know, have you made progress or have you kind of fallen back to your normal habits?
Yeah, accountability, Terry, is critical, because given the fact that what we usually do is we don't share what we're up to in life, both from a negative avoidance perspective, like stopping to smoke, or a positive acceptance perspective, like taking on a leadership stance in our community. So whatever it is that we're deciding to do, if we can share it with people, we'll inspire them not only to join us in supporting us in our vision, but also to create little visions of their own where they're now inspired to do things out of the inspiration that we've become for them.
Excellent. So what would I expect in a typical coaching session?
Well, we would identify just where you're stopped in your life, and those six areas that I discussed, mm-hmm. ranging from your health, your finances and occupation, your hobbies and passions, your personal and spiritual development, and your relationships, then we would look at which one is causing you the greatest pain or is the one that you're up for reinventing first. And we look at, in each area, what is working in each area and what is missing that if put into place would support each area. So if you pick one of those areas, I'll be able to give you a little bit more clarity.
Okay, let's look at the financial side.
Okay, so we would look in terms of, are you currently doing activities in life that are producing a financial result that you're happy with? And so the first place to look is, if you don't have a reserve, that would be the first thing to accomplish. So a reserve being that we all operate most powerfully if we're not worried about where our next meal is going to come from or where our next rent payment is going to come from. So we would make sure that we have a reserve where we start to build a trust level, not only in our lives, but around ourselves, like a cushion, so that we know that we can now operate powerfully and we can start to take some risks that would allow us to get ahead, where if you're in survival mode, you can't very well risk because you're going to be in a situation where you're too concerned with meeting your everyday life needs.
Uh-huh.
So once you establish that, then we would also look at what are your financial goals long term? You know, what if you had a magic wand and you could wave it over your life, what would your life look like? And then based upon what your financial goals are and where you'd like to live and what you'd like to drive and what you'd like to do and surround yourself with in life, then we'd look at what vehicles could you map out onto your life to make that happen. And so there are many that we use. One of the reasons why I was first attracted to the vehicle of network marketing was because of the fact that it provided one possibility for people to earn life-changing royalty-type incomes if they were in occupations that they didn't like or jobs that weren't paying them adequately. So that's just one small example. In the end, we would look at how much do you need to earn to have your life work optimally, and we would create a plan. That could be a savings and an investment plan. It could be possibly looking at a new type of work that pays you consistent with your worth and consistent with the type of income that your goals are. And so each individual case is just very, very unique, and the life plan or the business plan would be specific to what someone wants to do and is willing to do.
Okay, so we'd actually take and work the plan backwards. So we go from here's where I want to be, 2 or 5 years from now, and then work it backwards right down to, okay, if I'm going to be there in 5 years, then starting right now, within the next 5 minutes, I have to do this. Is that correct?
Yes. And it's not necessarily within the next 5 minutes, but you know, depending upon how committed you are to manifesting a result soon, you're going to need to be in a certain level of activity to produce the result. And there will be some things missing, perhaps, from, you know, your environment or your resources right now that can put those things into place. So we would look at, you know, who are your hot team members? Who are the people that you're going to utilize for coaching and for brainstorming and for support in moving through wherever you are to where you want to be? We'd look at what resources are necessary in terms of time, money, education, what else is necessary to manifest the result that you're looking to do. Perhaps you need to work with people who are skilled in the areas that you're looking to transition into if it's a new occupation or a new profession. So there's a lot of different possibilities, and they're all very much tailored to what someone is wanting to have in their lives and where they're willing to go to make it happen. And the last thing is, perhaps you want to, you know, earn $1 million a year, but you're not willing to shut off the television and to go out and make it happen. And so, you know, you'll be confronted with some choices where are you willing to do those things that are necessary in order to achieve those things that you want, or are they just pipe dreams?
So So that goes back to the fork in the road decisions.
Yeah, it starts there at the fork in the road, and it actually then builds to are the correct structures in place that will support you in your goals, or you know, are you unrealistic and not grounded in lining up what you're doing with where you want to be, which oftentimes is the case. You know, we lie to ourselves sometimes, or we don't really sufficiently analyze if what we're doing will get us to where we want to be. And so we go through 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 years of our lives not really making the kind of progress that we need to be making to reach the levels that we want to be at. And as a result of that, then we find ourselves looking back and saying, well, I made some decisions which have not supported me. So the goal here is to look and be proactive about making decisions that will empower your life to put it on the track to end up where you want to be as opposed to where you just happen to end up.
Okay, this actually sounds like a fairly complex process. How long does it take then for each session?
Well, I have clients that I work with for 1 hour a week. I have some that I work with 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 days a week. And there are some that take the next step and we get together 3 or 4 times a year at a course for 2.5 days, and we actually intensify their inquiry, their self-inquiry, and we look at maximizing their productivity and their personal effectiveness out of feedback that they get from myself and the other course instructor and the participants. So the answer is, how long does it take? It really depends upon the degree of reinvention, and it depends upon the person's willingness to do it slowly or over a greater period of time.
Okay, so how long would it take then for a total reinvention, not just a session, but if I decided today, okay, I wanted to start my own personal reinvention, how long would that process last, typically?
Well, I'll give you my example, which is here I was as a dentist practicing with a very successful practice, but something was missing for me. I was feeling, although I had a million-dollar practice, I was financially set. I had many, many patients that were providing fulfilling work. I had a lot of accomplishment from the sense that I was changing people's smiles, but I felt as though there was something missing where I had the ability to impact people's lives on a much different level. And so I took on a program where, as I mentioned, it was first a year program, and from there it continued on for another 6 years. And now the way I hold it is that I will never arrive, that I'm constantly in research around how I could be more effective with people, how I could be a better listener, how I could be better able to impact people's lives. And so for me, it's a lifelong process that once I know that I've arrived, I know that that's a lie, and that I have to really take a hard look at myself, because I know in my heart that there's really no arriving, that as we take on one area, some other areas show up, and so it's just a constant process of having every day being more effective and more fulfilling than the last.
Okay, so if I have a personal goal, we'll stay on the financial line that we started. If I have a personal goal of making $1 million a year, and I want to accomplish that sometime within the next, let's say, the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
If I reach that goal at 4 years,
yes,
then I would say that, okay, I've, you know, that part of my personal reinvention, I would consider that that has been accomplished, but maybe I'm still lacking on my personal side. Or is that actually a step where I say, okay, well, now I've made my $1 million, maybe I should actually be making $2 million?
Well, you know, that'll be an individual decision that only you will know what will make your life work optimally and what you'll be happy with. But as you're en route to developing $1 million asset, for example, or a $2 million asset, perhaps you'll see that there are some other areas of your life that we could work on at the same time. So it's not so compartmentalized usually, because let's just say you're working on your financial goals, but your life is miserable. So what we would look to do is to create a life that works optimally where, let's say, that your relationships aren't very rewarding. So as you're building your financial plan, we'd also work on maximizing your personal effectiveness with people and and enhancing your relationships and your communication and your ability to connect with others. So, you know, there might be more than one element to your plan that is done simultaneously, because remember, if any one area of your life is not working optimally, it really impacts and detracts from the other areas that are going well.
So what was your first goal personally? You had a one-year commitment to a personal reinvention in the beginning. What were some of your first goals that you had that you figured you would be able to accomplish at the end of that year?
Well, I had a few. The first was to replace my dental income, and so I took on a plan to do that through network marketing, which I did in about 18 months. I also had a plan to step into leadership and to impact people's lives. And who I was at the time was a very introverted, fearful, shy, reserved dentist who didn't even go to meetings because I was afraid to speak with people one-on-one or in groups. So I had quite a bit of reinventing to do personally if I wanted to realize my vision of impacting people's lives, because you can't very well impact someone's life, you know, if you're hiding your light under a bushel basket in the basement of your home.
Yeah.
So those were the two main things. I took on enhancing my ability to communicate and my ability to listen to people, and also developing simple things like developing rapport with people, taking an interest in their world, developing the elements of charisma, which are just really being present as a possibility for other people, as opposed to being self-centered and looking at your own life and your own petty fears and shortcomings. And so, you know, for me, it was about taking my focus off of myself and putting my focus on my vision of empowering other people to be their best. And that handles a lot of my own petty concerns.
And what about the practical details? When you decided at the first of that, your personal reinvention year, that you're going to replace your dental income within the next 18 months, what were the practical details? What did you do? You decided, okay, I'm going to replace my dental income. What happened next? Where did you kind of discover network marketing? How did that happen?
Well, if I was to replace my income, I needed a vehicle that could make that happen, and I did some research into network marketing and discovered that it was, in fact, a legitimate vehicle that could make it happen, but wouldn't necessarily make it happen if I was going to stay stuck in being the person that I was to that point, namely shy and introverted and not a communicator, not a good listener, not a leader by any means, and not even a good follower. So I had to decide to take on some qualities that were consistent with my new perspective. And so what I did over my first year was I developed an action plan after finding a company that met all of my needs and honored my values. And the plan got me to first $10,000 a month and then went on from there. And it also, at the same time, had conditions of satisfaction, which consisted of my being able to speak publicly, which I had never done in my life. It also required for me to develop my writing abilities and skills, which I had never written anything at that point in my life. And so I really came from the fact initially that I had very little self-confidence in the fact that I could impact people in that way, because I couldn't impact myself. And one thing led to another, where I started to develop new evidence to replace the old evidence that told me I couldn't do these things. And I started acting out of a declaration of who I said that I was as a possibility, you know, to impact my own life and the lives of other people, as opposed to all the evidence that I had created that really disempowered me and kept me small and kept me stuck.
Okay. Now, you, I would say, you're probably one of the best examples of a very successful personal reinvention. Do you have some examples of people that you worked with that actually have failed, that it hasn't actually worked for them?
Well, yeah, it's all, Terry, a matter of someone's commitment to breaking themselves up and doing what at times is uncomfortable. You know, if, for example, you are not very adept at relationships and communication, and you're always in conflict with people, well, if you're more committed to being right than you are to making life work and looking for ways to get into the other person's shoes and see things through their eyes and create win-win-win scenarios for you and them in the world, whatever it takes to handle your stuff, let's put it that way, then, you know, you will fall back. And for some people, it's too scary, or it's they're not sufficiently engaged in what the costs are of them staying stuck in a life that's not working for them. And so for some people, they'll decide that, you know, it's easier to hide under the bed than it is to break yourself up and to risk and to do things differently. And so some people will make that choice. And what happens for a great majority of people, though, is once